Hello, welcome back to Mad Yet Mighty. I'm your host, Megan Cipollone. If you're tuning in for the first time, I just wanted to say hi, hello, ciao, welcome. If you're tuning in for the first time, just a little bit of like a rundown real quick before we hop into stuff. Basically, this is just a fun way to keep up with all things entertainment, all things pop culture, all things personal wellness and story, I suppose. Pretty much just somewhere where I kind of just can come and just dump thoughts as well as maybe, hopefully these thoughts, stories, and whatever. You get something out of it. You know, we don't have to get deep. So it's just going to be, it's just a fun way to keep on all things entertainment. How about that? And sometimes we do get a little spiritual, and sometimes I do get a little spiritual, and we do get a little real talk, because that's also what I wanted too. I wanted to just create a place where I could just talk about what is going on, what is real, and maybe we can kind of just get real together for a second. Because I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, you go a lot through your day and it doesn't feel that way, but maybe you can feel that way. And I feel like when we feel that way, we feel better. You feel me? So if this is your first time, welcome to Mad Yet Mighty. And you know what? If you don't agree with me on certain things on this, that's great. That's okay. That's the beauty of having an opinion in you. That's the beauty of, you know, I support that. It's great to have opposing opinions. It's great that we can be in a place where we can have opposing opinions. So just putting that out there as well. Just a little bit of a disclaimer, you know? I'm kind of reeling down. I've had a day, so I took a day off work because I was having my refrigerator delivered, because I've been living with two freezers pretty much for like 2 weeks, you know, just kind of like doing the thing. And it's a whole thing with, God love my wonderful, amazing Italian immigrant grandfather who lives downstairs with my amazing aunt. So he was here. She had to work all day. The dog, it was a whole situation. Thank God I was here. Thank God I was here keeping an eye on things. So that whole thing. You know, sometimes it's really fun when, you know, your grandpa tells you. So I'm standing downstairs at the bottom of the stairs holding the broom, kind of like, you know, having a sense of like domainship over what's going on, and, you know, doing a little bit of sweeping as they're coming in and out, though. And then as they go outside, God bless the two delivery guys who were trying to get my old 18-year-old refrigerator from upstairs, my top floor apartment, down a very narrow staircase. God bless their souls. And while that was happening, my grandfather decided, whilst he's sitting, so let me just set the scene. If you walk into my apartment and it's the first floor is the first floor apartment. So that's where my grandfather and my aunt live. And then if you go up the stairs, that is the second floor apartment. That is my apartment. I'm the only one who comes up here. So he can sit from the family room with his door open and he can look out onto, you know, the main area when you walk in the front door. And that's where I was standing, you know, keeping shit down, keeping an eye on things. And he kind of yells from his chair. He says, "Megan, that's a good looking boy." And I was like, "Oh my God." And I was like, sweep. I was like, "Yeah, sure is, Grandpa." Like, no. So there is my grandpa trying to get me to pretty much nudge me, telling me, there, you take the refrigerator delivery boy. So that happened today. So, you know, just all things good and dandy. So there's something that I wanted to kind of address, and I created this. And as I started to kind of like make these notes, I was like, okay, this is definitely going to be my bad juju list. And what I want to do is I want to take a moment, and I want to just take a moment to cleanse myself, your all's, anyone who's listening self, because I feel like maybe somewhere in this list you might find something that you need to cleanse in yourself. Okay, so here we're going to go. This was something that, yeah, so as I was taking notes with me, I was like, okay, how am I going to, yep, this is what it is. This is what it is. This is what it needs to be. So point number one that we're going to cleanse, and this is just so funny, and this actually happened to somebody that I worked with. But anyways, the thing is, when somebody tells you you look like someone, like a celebrity or someone else or someone well-known, and that person is ugly. I mean, like, has that happened to, literally has that happened to anyone? Because I feel like it is one of the most uncomfortable and awkward things when you were sitting, when you have somebody come up to you and tell you that, oh my God, you look like this one person. And then they show you the person and you're like, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Pause for a sip. Literally is one of the most awkward things. And I'm going to cleanse myself from witnessing it. I'm going to cleanse anyone else who has ever witnessed this. But if you haven't, if you've been the reciprocant. One time somebody told me that I look like Lindsay Lohan. They're like, oh my God, no, I seriously. And they were like, and they were holding up pictures on their laptop and like next to me. And they're like, no, seriously, do you see it? I'm like, no, I actually legitimately don't. And it worries me right now that you actually are. Like, we actually need to put the computer down and have a talk, because I don't think there's something actually not wrong with your eyes, but it's actually wrong with your brain. There's something physiologically wrong happening here. And I don't look like Lindsay Lohan. So I've been there, and it's one of those awkward circumstances where it's just, oh my God, it's a beautiful thing to witness. So you know what? I'm cleansing myself and I'm cleansing everyone else. And you know who else I'm cleansing people of? I'm cleansing people of Jussie Smollett. So if anyone's like, who the hell is Jussie Smollett? Okay, so he was the one who was on the Empire show, who had and posed, basically staged a homophobic racist attack on himself, and then reported it to the police and said that he was attacked. And then later found out, it was like a whole thing, and then later found out that he was involved. And there was possible question of him paying the people who to like beat him up and do the things. And it was just this entire thing where for a second he had made everyone believe that this horrible, horrible, horrible thing had happened to him that shouldn't happen to absolutely anybody. And so everyone was rallying behind him. And then, you know, things didn't check out. Certain things started to slip. And then you find out the whole thing, the bottom drops out. And we find out this guy literally set the entire damn thing up. So I was really just, my ass was chapped about this. And it was all, I mean, it was all over forever. It was literally on every single channel. So there was talk for a minute of him, you know, for a second it was like, And stuff is still not settled with it. Like, he didn't actually, like, get, like, he hasn't gotten jail time, but now he's possibly being sued by the city of Chicago. It's like, it's like a whole thing. And for a minute there, it sounded like he was going to get off scot-free and I was going to be livid. But, and then he kind of went away, and I've still been kind of keeping up with it. And apparently, for a minute, I actually read an article that said it looked like Empire was going to like bring him back for the next season. And I was like, no, what kind of message would that send? What kind of freaking message would that send if we brought this guy who completely did one of the worst things ever, like staged and made himself the victim of a fake homophobic and racist attack. So I was just, so once again, ass just fully chapped when I saw that the Empire cast was like okay with him coming. I'm like, what is going on? So the update is season 6 of Empire is on, and I read that Jussie is out. Thank you, baby. Cleansing of that and sending it out, and I hope I don't have to hear anything about it again. I hope it's off our TVs. So there we go. You've been freaking cleansed. Boom. Okay, another thing that I'd like to just get rid of, and maybe you can agree with me. I want to just get rid of people who are bluntly rude, just in everyday life, and then just try to make you look bad in front of others. What's the point of that? You know? I feel like everyone knows somebody like that, and I just feel like it is just such blatant yuck, you know? So woosha, I'm cleansing, and that's all I'm gonna say about that. But pause for a sip. Thank you. Okay, I'm just going to just, that needed to be that. You know what another thing is that I just need to be full on cleansed from? And this might be a situation that very few have experienced, and it's actually a very odd one. So I have like a situation where I have someone who frequently friend requests me on Facebook. And I'm talking like periods of time will pass. I'm talking like months, weeks, like years have gone by. I've kept them in like the lingo, you know, of when you want to, you don't want to like respond to it because you want to think that you haven't seen it. So you just keep it in that friend request lingo or like limbo. You know what I'm talking about. And I get on my freaking Facebook the other day and I have a friend. I'm like, what is going on? I have purposely, I mean, and I'm, guys, I'm talking at least 4 years. Like, this has been an ongoing thing for like 4 years. I mean, it's actually something that I will screenshot and text one of my best friends about to be like, you will not freaking believe what is still going on. So I feel like I needed to air that grievance because it just baffles and boggles my mind. Like, I don't know if, like, I know that there's people who are just completely blatantly clueless, but like, come on. So you've been cleansed. You know, another thing that I hope nobody, I just experienced, and it's a thing. I just experienced the most raging lip, as in the lips on my mouth, and the zit literally. And if you had them, if you know, you know. And I just got over a horrid one where I feel like it runned my life. I feel like everywhere I went, it was this huge anomaly that was on my face. I felt like a leper. I felt like I needed to throw a hood up when I went into cry. I mean, it was something where it was like concerning, but I'm telling you, it was the craziest extraction of my entire life. So I am, this was on my bad juju list. I'm cleansing myself of that. And anyone else of that who's experienced that, who has experienced just the horrific feeling of that. And speaking of lipsits, not only did I have a lipsit, but Game of Thrones this past week literally gave me a fever blister the next day. I literally had a fever stress blister the next day that I'm still recovering from. And I just, it's been a very, very stressful time. So I'm cleansing everyone. I'm cleansing myself of that anyways. So let's get to some new announcements that I am super excited about and new trailers. So, okay, Dark Phoenix trailer just dropped. And Dark Phoenix is actually going to be now an extension of the X-Men, of the new X-Men who've been in X-Men First Class. And I know that, like, a lot of people not really big superhero fans. I feel like you either are or you aren't. That's totally fine. But the cool thing about it is Sophie Turner, who plays Sansa Stark in Game of Thrones, she is taking on the role of Jean Grey. And I'm just going to double check that because I hope that's right. Because if it's not right, it's going to be really embarrassing. And I can't believe I didn't look up the name of... Yep, Jean Grey, the Phoenix. So, super excited about that because I think, one, Sophie Turner kicks absolute ass. I love superhero movies. I'm a big Marvel, I love it all. I'm going to say I love it more so of, I'm not going to say that I sit and I read every single, I've barely read a comic. But there's certain ones that I have but I'm not claiming that, like, I know anything about that. Like, that's not what I'm claiming. I'm claiming that, like, I love the storylines that these comics have created, but I love cinema and, like, I love film and movies. So I love seeing them come together and it just, like, create a franchise and create this movement and create characters that we love. So that's what I am obsessed about. So I'm excited to see that now this continuation of the X-Men come out with Sophie Turner. And it just looks like a kick-ass movie, you know, when you have this big ass, you know, well, actually, she's not big. She's this beautiful, cute little petite strawberry blonde who's going to kick ass. But so that trailer came out. So if you want to go check that out, if you're into any of those types of movies, the Marvel, the DC, the superhero, and we'll get more on that later because there is another huge pop, just huge drop that happened. So this is just like a little piece of me is just so excited. So I found out that Steven Spielberg, who directed E.T., Save It Private Ryan, Schindler's List, he is going to be making, he's going to be directing a new, he is going to be directing the new West Side Story. West Side Story is one of my favorite musicals of all times. I am so excited. We did it in high school, so we have some like emotional attachment to it. But not only is that what I'm super excited about, but okay, so the main character is Tony. So for anyone who just wants a quick rundown of West Side Story, it is basically like the story of Romeo and Juliet, except it's then brought to New York and it's brought between the Sharks and the Jets. So basically we have Tony and Maria, our two main characters, who are in love and it's this whole amazing, wonderful thing. And then Tony's from the Jets and Maria's from the Sharks and we don't like each other. This doesn't work. We're not allowed to be together. Now, this is why I'm jacked. So Ansel Elgort, I cannot say his last name. He was the guy who was the in Fault in Our Stars and in Baby Driver, those two movies. He's going to be playing Tony and I am so freaking excited. I can't even begin to function. And then Maddie, the little dance girl who's in all of the Sia videos, she's one of the other girls who are going to be one of the Jets girls. A lot of big dance numbers, a lot of just iconic musical theater. So I am so excited about that. Another huge announcement that came out was that Rami Malek, who we all just know, who just played the wonderful role in Bohemian Rhapsody as Freddie Mercury, he was just announced that he is going to be the next Bond villain. And I believe this is Daniel Craig's last. Did I hear that? I believe I heard that. If I'm wrong on that, you know what? I can't win them all. I'm going to be right. I'm going to be wrong sometimes. I'm pretty sure I heard it was Daniel Craig's last Bond movie, but he is going to be playing the Bond villain. Don't really know anything else, but I am absolutely down to see him play a villain. So I really haven't seen every single Bond movie, but I'm definitely excited to see Rami Malek play an over-exaggerated, just awesome, dope villain. So that'll be awesome. Huge news. Huge, huge, huge news. So Mary-Kate and Ashley movies have officially come to Hulu. All of them, I believe they're all on Hulu. They came out today. Today is May 1st. So I just decided that I wanted to list my top five. I cut it down to top five because I didn't want to get too excessive and I didn't want to bore anyone. So let's chat the top five, in my opinion, Mary-Kate and Ashley movies. Starting at number five. Number five goes, and this makes me sad because I wanted it to be higher, but I don't know how it could be higher. Like, I guess number five is Passport to Paris. Literally one of the best Mary-Kate and Ashley movies of all time. We have the two friends. They go to Paris. They meet the two French guys. It's the bonjour, bonjour, bonjour. Oh my God, the whole scene. They ride on the back of motorpeds with baguettes and the bass. It's a whole thing. I'm obsessed. Number five. Number four, the iconic It Takes Two with Kirstie Alley. The two little girls, they switch spots. We have some amazing scenes at a day camp and a big food fight in the mansion and the wedding in New York. And, you know, if you've seen it, you've seen it. If you haven't, I'm sorry. So you will, you know, you'll get what I'm saying. Then that's number four, Mary-Kate and Ashley. Number three, this is one of my favorites, Winning London. So the two girls, they're in the model UN group at their school and they get to travel to London with their very attractive group of friends and they meet this Brit. It's a whole thing and I love London and I want to be there. The clothes, Winning London, number three. Number two, Holiday in the Sun. Holiday in the Sun is just great. We have Megan Fox just playing the most awful bitch you've ever met in your entire life. Mary-Kate and Ashley, there's dolphins, there's cute boys, we're in the Bahamas, there's the Atlantis, it's everything you could literally want. I'm obsessed. Number one is going to go to the amazingly hilarious, quotable, and wonderful Our Lips Are Sealed. Our Lips Are Sealed, where the girls experience, or they witness a crime, they witness a robbery, and they have to be put in the witness protection program. And then they go down under to Australia, and they move in with this family who owns this bed and breakfast. And then two criminals are after them, and they meet these two guys, and it's just like one of the best experiences ever. If you haven't seen it, you're missing out. So I know that, you know, some people are into the Mary-Kate and Ashley thing. It's something we grew up with. So this was important. I'm so excited. So yeah, check that out on Hulu. Starting May 1st, all of the Mary-Kate and Ashley movies will be on. So you're welcome. Finally, the moments we've all been waiting for. Finally, Zac Efron's Ted Bundy movie, Extremely Wicked and Shockingly Evil and Vile, will be out in two. Well, when this comes out, it'll be a day. It'll be out in a day, people. And we can finally watch Zac Efron play Ted Bundy, be a serial killer. I'm so freaking excited. But dear Zac Efron, can you please, please, please dye your freaking hair? I'm over this. I don't get it. Like, is he doing a movie? I don't understand. I know he's kind of like the free spirit and doesn't really, and Mr. Bachelor. And I hope you're not going to turn into a Leo DiCaprio. Please don't turn into a Leonardo DiCaprio who brings girls and a big glass dome in the back of his house, has sex with them, puts headphones on, listens to crazy loud metal music. And I know you all are probably wondering how I know this. And honestly, I'm not going to reveal my sources. However, this has been a confirmed thing. He's like a weird, he literally has his people go up to girls in clubs and will be like, Leonardo DiCaprio wants you. And do you want to come home? And then it's like, yeah. Okay, we're going to do a little pause. Sorry, I had to answer a phone call from my mother. Lot going, you know. Anywho, as I was saying about Leonardo DiCaprio, I don't want Zac Efron to become like Leonardo DiCaprio. But yes, I know everyone's probably like, Megan, how the hell do you know all those weird, weird facts about Leonardo DiCaprio's sex life? And honestly, like I said, I can't reveal my sources, but I can tell you they're freaking true. So I'm so freaking stoked to watch the Ted Bundy movie with Zac Efron. I cannot wait. So expect that we're going to be chit-chatting about that the next time that we podcast. Okay, so past couple little things that I watched. I watched a movie on, watched a movie on Netflix. It was called The Silence, and it was a newer movie, and it stars Stanley Tucci. Stanley Tucci's from The Devil Wears Prada, Lovely Bones, Birdlesque. Those probably weren't the best examples for Stanley Tucci, but those were my best examples, the ones that I care about. And then Kieran and Sherpa, who plays this Sabrina in the new Netflix Sabrina series. So the movie's about, like, the world is under attack from, like, this weird-ass bat that comes out of the cave that's been in there for, like, millions of years. And, like, so her family, essentially, is trying to seek refuge in these bats. Attack or these weird creatures attack you when they hear sound. So it's a little bit of mix of it's a baby of Bird Box and In a Quiet Place had a weird baby. And that's what would be born. I'm going to go ahead and give it a 2 out of 5 diseased bats. You know, it was good. Like, if you want to put it on the background, it's definitely entertaining. But I know people are probably going to be like, I hate the end. And I know they're just going to be like, nah, but it's good. So you know what? I say watch it, but I'm just going to give it 2 out of 5 diseased bats. So just saying. I finally got around to watching Avengers Infinity War. Definitely going to give it, definitely deserves 5 out of 5 Infinity Stones. I know I'm so clever with my rating systems. Avengers Infinity War was good. I mean, I love all of the Marvel movies. I love all the DC Marvel I will go on record and I will be completely transparent. I have not seen every single one because there's franchises that I'm kind of like, I'm going to be honest. I've not seen a Captain America, and maybe I should, and maybe I'm a bad person. You know what? It's something I'll go to my grave. I'll go to my grave with it. I'm fine with it. Love Iron Man. Have seen all the Iron Man. Honestly, haven't seen the Thors. Okay. That's what I'm going to watch next because I'm so into myth. the mythological, the weird, the fantasy, the that. I'm into Thor. So I'm going to watch Thor. I'm into Chris Hemsworth. I'm into the Hemsworths. Who isn't into the Hemsworths? So Avengers Infinity War, big fan, because I really want to see Endgame. And I was scared to go this past weekend because I knew it was going to be batshit crazy at the movie theaters, which once again, we'll get to that here in a second. Super into that. So highly recommended if you're into that. I've caught up on The Act. The Act is the show that I've been talking about pretty much. I've talked about it on the last couple of podcasts because it's actually on right now on Hulu. And the last episode actually was loaded today. And that was the story of, if you've never heard of The Act, it is actually based off of true events. It's based off of there's an HBO documentary called Mommy, Dead and Dearest. And now this is the show that they, with actors, but it's essentially acting out what happened. And so the last episode aired, anyways, had a little brain fart there. And I've been watching it. It's an insane story. If you don't know anything about it, if you are into like weird documentaries or style, if you're not already watching it, I feel like everyone probably already is watching it. If you're not, look it up. It's absolute wild. But, you know, I think people are having, I've like heard people make comments about like the acting, but I'm telling you, if you go and you watch, because in the original in the documentary, Mommy, Dead and Dearest, there is a ton of actual footage of like Gypsy Rose and her mom. And I'm telling you that she sounds and it acts the exact same way. So it's almost creepy. And it's, so when you see Joey King, who's playing Gypsy Rose in this act, you're like, oh, that's like over the top and weird. But it's like, no, when you watch Gypsy Rose, that's literally how she acted. It is the most... It's the weird, it's just the creepiest thing. She acts like she's the little girl in the wheelchair. And yeah, it's, if you know, you know. That's all I'm going to say. So I'm going to, you know, 5 out of 5 means it has to be just, it has to have all, you know, it has to have all things. It has to be, it has to stand up against things like Avengers Infinity War, which is a great cinematic movie. Now, obviously, this is a show and there's different aspects. 3 out of 5 Gypsy Rose's wigs. And if you watch it, you'll understand. Okay, fine. She wears wigs. Well, one, the mom shaves her head because she tells her that her mom treats her like she has all of these ailments, and she makes her believe that she's like this just a super sick girl. And she shaves her head because of this and tells her that she's a different age than she is. I mean, it's a whole thing. So that finally ended. Now, I need to watch the last episode, but the story's absolutely wild and it's real. Okay, so this past week, there was a bunch of huge pop culture, just like monsters that battled up against each other. So the top three things that were just battling it out was Avengers Endgame. So Avengers Endgame is the final straw, the final movie of the Marvel, of this generation Marvel universe. It's been the buildup. It's been over 10 years. There is a total of 22 films that is in this phase. And it's the end. It's the end. It's the end of the era. So this movie was a giant. So it was the first film in history to pass a $1 billion benchmark in the opening weekend. $1 billion. And it all started with Iron Man. So Iron Man was actually an independent movie when it was first released. But it had hopes that it would kind of start stirring the pot and getting Disney or Marvel to kind of be like, all right, you know, let's do this. Like, let's, and with Robert Downey heading it. So once Iron Man did as well as it did, it was like, okay, let's do this. And then they bought it, and then it turned into actually what it turned into. So that was a huge, I mean, people were, the movie's like over 3 hours long. I mean, people are coming out crying. I hear there's some big, powerful deaths. I mean, this is something that people have been following for 10 years who have these emotional attachments to these characters. And I think it's wild. I mean, this is a big deal. It was a big deal in box office. It was a big deal in cinema. So pretty cool. I cannot wait to see it. I kind of wanted to let like the main whoosh of crowd go at the movie theater, and then I'm gonna go see it. But So that was one of our huge players. Game of Thrones, everyone, whether you like it or whether you don't like it, that's fine. This is more so coming from the fact that this was a huge, it was a highly, highly anticipated television event of our lifetime. So just to kind of give you a little bit of backstory, this was the third episode of the eighth and final season of Game of Thrones. This is the battle. It was the battle between the living and the battle between the dead. What we have been working up the entire show for. The battle against the living of all of our main characters against the Night King army, which is the army of the dead, or the army of the undead, the dead that is now living, the zombies. And it has just, this was huge. It was huge. And even the facts that we knew about this episode, we started hearing about the filming of this episode, how it was going to be the longest filmed battle scene ever in movies, TV history ever. So it was the longest episode of Game of Thrones. So at 82 minutes, it was their longest episode. And to film just this one 82-minute episode, it was 55 consecutive nights of filming, night shoots, 55. Now, it went on for 11 weeks. They went to three different locations in Northern Ireland. So they were literally shooting for 7.5 months for this one episode. This one episode. Not even that, doing weekdays of filming and 16 to 18 hours. The actors talk about it like it was, like they all collectively talk about it like they hope that they never have to go through something like that again. Wild. Wild. 750 people worked on the episode and the temperature was in the low 30s. And some of the crew guys were getting 40,000 steps a day for this one episode. How batshit crazy but amazing is that? Isn't that freaking fascinating? Okay, I saw this and almost freaked out. So not only that, but so Chris Stapleton asked to be a part of Game of Thrones. So they put him as an extra in this episode. So he flew to Northern Ireland and filmed for this episode. I saw the picture of him in his outfit. He looked totally like he fit in, Mr. Big Burly Man. He almost looks like a second Tormund. This was a huge deal. This was a huge pop culture deal. Another huge one. If you literally look up anything about this episode and you hear the actors talk about it, obviously they're grateful and thankful and this is what they love. And this show is they all talk about this show like just something that is, it's just super cool. This is how long you film for a movie. But these conditions, these work days, 40,000 steps a day. It's absolutely wild. It's wild. And another actually really interesting fact, and if you haven't watched the most recent episode yet, which I don't know what you're doing because at this point now you're just asking for it, I suggest that you either pause this episode or fast forward because I'm going to say something that, you know what, you might, it's a spoiler. Spoiler alert. But I thought this was cool is that they knew Arya was going to kill the Night King 3 years, was it 3 years ago? Which they said that it just didn't feel Jon Snow just never felt, it didn't feel right for him to be the one. So that's pretty sweet. This past episode was nuts. There was big deaths in this past Game of Thrones episode. That was another thing people were complaining about. We didn't have any big characters. I'm like, okay, yes, none of our main people like Jon Snow, Daenerys, Tyrion, none of them. But we had huge, huge characters say goodbye. Yes, are they more of a secondary tier? Lyanna Mormont, Theon, Jorah. Huge, awesome deaths. We had the little Lyanna Mormont who went up against the big Goliath, the big dead zombie Goliath, and she stabbed him in the eye. That was dope. And they said that they wanted to give her just a huge death, one that would just show what a badass she really was. Theon had a redeeming death in his last moments. In his last moments in total with Bran, protecting Bran. If he wouldn't have done that, he had a very large part in holding off anyone hurting Bran. And then, you know, ran into the Night King, which was sick. So, wonderful redeeming death. Jorah's final sacrifice for Daenerys. There was a part in that scene where when they're on the ground fighting, I think she literally takes him and turns him and uses him as a shield. But I think he probably told her to do that, I'm hoping. And then, like, a sword goes through something. I'm like, dang, like, I mean, I know he's dying, but shit. So that had to be something they worked out beforehand, right? You know, that's something that we talk about. Like, if I'm dying and if I'm already dead, you can use me as a human shield. And that's literally what she did. She used him as a human shield, and a sword went through his torso. Nuts. Here's my predictions. Cersei's not pregnant. I don't think she's pregnant. And I'm going to drop another bomb on you. I think Jaime's going to be the one to kill Cersei. I think their lover's tryst, their brother and sister lover's tryst, is coming to an end. And according to the prophecy, it's going to be a brother. And so I think Jaime's going to do that. And I'm also going to say, I don't know if Jon would give up the throne to Dany. Jon's a stand-up guy. Jon Snow's a stand-up, respectable man. I don't think he's going to do it. I don't think he's going to do it. But yeah. That's a little bit more about the episode, but so that was another huge giant, a huge pop culture giant that was launched. And then last but not least, our other huge release was Taylor Swift's new single, Me, that was co-written by Brandon Urie of Panic at the Disco. This was another long awaited. And she started the countdown and no one really knew what it was. Was it going to be a wedding? Was it going to be new music? Was it going to be a new song? Was it going to be, I don't know what other weird ass shit people were saying. And then the music video dropped. So all three of these huge things, it was a big, wildly in all aspects of film, movie, film, TV, music, just huge monsters. So let's talk about Me for a second. So Me is the start of Taylor Swift's new era. So Taylor Swift does something that is very similar to like what Madonna did. So what a lot of pop singers do when they release a new album, Lady Gaga does it as well. I just wanted to yell it out because it came to my head and I didn't want to forget it. When they put out new albums, it's like they're putting out a new version of themselves. It's the new era. Lady Gaga did it with Joanne. When she kind of went from being Lady Gaga and kind of wild and crazy and then was kind of stripped down and very stripped down with Joanne and then even more stripped down for A Star Is Born, that's something different. So many people do this, but Madonna was one of the most well-known ones who like were big time do that. But Taylor does this. So this is our new era. So we see like the pink snake in the beginning of the Me video, which I know people are not, I've like heard people, and I don't know if it's just because people want to bitch or complain or like, you know, go against the grain and like say they don't like something, but I've heard a lot of people say they don't like the colors. I freaking am obsessed, but it's because I am a bright pastel-y, love girly colors, love girly shit, love feeling and like in this, I love it. So I'm obsessed with it. So the pink snake coming at you that turns into butterflies, oh, big fan, big, and you know what, maybe it's because I'm just turned into a little bit of like a spirit, like a spiritual nut, but I'm super into the metamorphosis and into the butterflies, just saying. So pastels, exploding florals, butterflies, unicorns, weird paint, Taylor's in suits and they're dancing with suitcases. It's a whole thing. This is right up Brendan Urie's avenue. Now the video was watched an average 4 million times each hour the first day. Let that sink in. The video was watched 4 million times every hour the first day. That's literally insane. So Taylor had a secret that she was keeping for months. She was putting it an Easter egg in the video. So a lot of people thought it was going to be an engagement announcement to her long boyfriend, Joe Atwin. And I didn't look up his name. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. British actor. And we were speculating engagement. I still think they're going to get engaged soon, but in fact, the announcement that Taylor Swift adopted her third cat, who was named Benjamin Button. And it is another one of those big-eyed looking cats. Brendan Urie gives it to her in the video. It's a whole thing. It's super cute. It's super cute. And I'm into it. Okay, so tonight, the Billboard, the 2019 Billboard Music Awards are on, and you best believe this baby is watching. So, can't wait, but she's going to be performing, and I'm just absolutely jacked. So, I did a poll on Instagram, and going from Taylor Swift and kind of just like, let's do, I was like, okay, Taylor Swift, Kim K, and I was like, who's bigger? Like, I thought this to myself. I said, who is more well-known? And really, really think about that. Taylor Swift, Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian's been around a lot longer, but Taylor Swift, okay, but let's think about different generations, though. Like, I mean, Kim K is an internet, and this is something that I did when I was doing some research. I really did. Taylor, and here's the thing, and this was what stemmed my, when I, like, originally was not a big fan of Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is extremely contrived. So at first, I didn't like that. I didn't like that everything released in the media from her was just cultivated. She never had anything leak that was just like, meh. Like, everything was always staged. Like, these weird outings with the friends, everything was always so perfect. At least with the Kardashians, at least with Kim, we see all this shit. Like, we see, like, she's like, I don't give a shit. You're gonna see my naked shit. You're gonna see this shit. You're gonna see my business shit. You're gonna see my kids shit. And now you're gonna see that Kim's gonna become a lawyer. So that was another thing I wanted to talk about. But who is more well-known? So, by the looks of it, and it's actually been really funny, the people, like, seeing everyone who's voted, and it's like a thing, like, it's a total thing. It is literally still 50-50 right down the middle, equal votes Taylor to equal votes Kim. I personally think Kim Kardashian is more well known. I think more people, because all the kids are on social media. Like, every single kid now coming into the world now knows cell phones. And I'm not saying that this was like something that I knew, but there was a time when literally, like, we didn't, like, when I was a kid, like, we literally, that's not, we didn't have, but I'm not saying it, we didn't have cell phones. Just say it, Megan, shut up. We didn't have cell phones. So, kids are always going to have cell phones. The Kardashians run social media. They run everything. Everyone knows. Every kid, you can ask every kid. But I don't think every kid's going to know. That's a lie. I think every kid's going to know who Taylor Swift. Honestly, it's up 50-50. I personally think Kim, because Kim Kardashian is in more avenues. There's beauty. There's TV, all over the TVs, all over this. I mean, we know Kim. Like, we know Kim. So I think Kim K is bigger, especially with Kanye, which Kanye West is now on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I am so fully watching again because Kanye, like, never wanted, like, was so not and never did it. And it's actually really interesting. And it's not that he's sold out, because you can totally tell by the way that he acts in his interviews, one-on-one and when he's with Kim. So he's now doing it. He's now allowing himself to be more involved in the show. Which is fascinating to me, because you get to watch him in these interviews, and he says just, like, dumb shit. It's not dumb shit, but he says, like, just, like, he's just Kanye. Like, he's Kanye. And you can watch Kim, like, kind of, like, how she is with him. Kim's a smart-ass one. I don't even give, if you watch it, Kim just has her shit together. She knows what she does. She's, for whatever you want to say about her, when you watch the show, you can tell Kim has her shit together. But anyways, Kim's going to take the bar exam in California. You do not have to go to law school, but there's obviously requirements that you have to have that she's going to do. And she's already done a couple, and she's passed and is literally going to take the bar in 2022. I know she got really involved with the one woman's case. And I didn't know I was going to talk about this because I didn't take notes on it, or else I would have known her name. But you followed it on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. She actually met with Trump and did all of these motions and, like, got this woman who was sentenced to a life of prison on, like, her first ever, like, anything, got her out. So Kim, you know what, if she's going to use her good, if she wants to be passionate, I think she's doing it too, you know, for her father. She said she had her father's library and, like, loved being in there. I think that's, you know, I think it's really awesome. Atta girl, Kim. Atta girl. And you know what? Atta boy to Scott Disick. I'm obsessed with Scott Disick. I've been obsessed with Scott Disick since day one. And he's actually going to get a new show on E! And it's going to be like a new home reno show. I read that the other day. So I'm super, super excited about it. Okay. Let's have a little chit chat. So let's jump. Let's switch gears.
Let's take a breather here.
Let's switch gears. So I've had a lot of people recently ask me who Bobby Bones is. Who is Bobby Bones? What is Bobby Bones? Why do you talk about Bobby Bones? Who the hell is Bobby Bones? Okay. Bobby Bones. I'm just going to take all emotion out of it at first and just simply talk fact. Okay. So this is what actually somebody said about Bobby. So Bobby is the sort of the Ryan Seacrest of country music world if Seacrest was more polarizing and didn't have a filter. Okay, so that's, I just actually liked that quote because it seemed very much. So Bobby Bones is he's 36 and he is the morning show host of the Bobby Bones Show. The Bobby Bones Show is the number one nationally syndicated. So what syndicated means is it's played all over the country in all different cities. So like in your one city, like when you have like your like station hosts that are just that city, he's the number one show nationally. His program is over 100 stations coast to coast. He gets 3 million listeners each weekday morning. Every single morning, they go live. 3 million listeners every single morning. He's the youngest member of the Radio Hall of Fame. He beat Ryan Seacrest last year because of the B Team, because he has a rabid fan base. It's literally insane what his fan base can do, but you had to vote and Ryan Seacrest was up and hello, it's Ryan Seacrest. He didn't think he was going to win. Bobby was like, yeah, whatever. He beat Ryan Seacrest. He's the youngest member inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. He was named the most influential man in country music. So like on his show, he's broken so many artists, or he's played their music. Nobody had played, like no one even know who Chris Jansen was. He played Buy Me a Boat and then Chris Jansen's whole entire career started. One of the ones who found, really started playing Lindsay L, really started playing Lauren Elena, really, really brought Luke Combs. Chris Stapleton did stuff on his show way back, way even before. I'm not even covering, but he's been with his show now. They've all been together for like 14 years or even longer. And it started in Austin, Texas, and they started as like just a pop show. And back in 2013, they were like, you're going to move to Nashville. You're going to head the country. Like you're going to take over and be like this main country, like this station, which is then going to be syndicated all over the nation. And they moved, and it's been wild. So, okay, let's go back to fact. He's a two times number one New York Times bestseller. He has a comedy band that he just, you know, does on the weekends. They're named The Raging Idiots. So that's his comedy band. They tour. They had a number one comedy record. He's brought Jason Aldean, Dierks Bentley, Brad Paisley, Toby Keith. The list freaking goes on. He hosts a annual $1 million show in Nashville. This was the second one that they did for St. Jude. He's now raised over $2 million for St. Jude. The radio show, just one day, like on the radio show, they raised $1.3 million for St. Jude, just like one day on the radio show. So he has his own podcast called The Bobby Cast. He has his own podcast network called Nashville Podcast Network. He's been now on American Idol for 2 seasons. He's been the mentor. He won Dancing with the Stars, which sounds crazy. And I said he was going to win. Nobody believed me because nobody knows who he was. He jokes and he says that literally only part, like rural America knows him. He grew up in Arkansas, Mount Pine, Arkansas, super poor, really, really poor. His mom was an alcoholic. Had major addiction problems. His dad left. His grandma raised him. His grandma died. He basically grinded it out, had nothing, came from nothing, and now he is what he is. So Megan, why do you know all of this about this person? So when I moved to Nashville, I started listening to the radio show. And then I've listened to this radio show every single day for the past 4 or 5 years. I'm obsessed. He's like one of my idols. So Why Bobby Bones? Like, why are we even freaking talking about Bobby Bones? Okay. I think Bobby Bones is about to be the next Bachelor. And I just wanted to go on record saying, y'all, he's a thing. He's real. He's dope. Get on the train. Because I think he's about to be our next Bachelor. He has a contract with ABC. So ABC is like obsessed with him. They're like, we want to make, and he says all this because he's like the most humble. He's like, this isn't, I don't know why you just, it's, he's the real deal. So he's been teasing stuff on his Instagram. He's been posting pictures, but not saying it. They've been talking about it on the radio show. Amy, his co-host, keeps saying, oh yeah, like, 'cause you're going to be on The Bachelor, and everyone keeps texting me about it. And it's this whole thing. And what would be crazy is, 'cause like, Bobby is literally friends. He's kind of weird. He's super quirky. He's definitely not normal. And he's very open about his life. He's never been married. He doesn't have kids. It's all childhood related. It's just, he's a very interesting character and he's not going anywhere. He wants to run for the governor of Arkansas. And he also says he wants to run for the president one day. And honestly, at this rate, he's done everything he says that he's done. And now I'm getting inklings, either he's going to be the Bachelor or he's definitely doing something to just completely throw us. And what makes me think he might be throwing is because when he first moved to Nashville, people were pissed. People wanted their radio show. They didn't want him. Bobby put up billboards in Nashville that read, "Go home, Bobby Bones," all over Nashville. He bought the billboards with his own money and put them up. People were like, oh my God, who did it? Everyone was talking about it all over town, all over the radio. Who did like the "Go home, Bobby Bones"? Nobody knew that he did it for years. He actually wrote about it in his first book. He was the one who did it, and he did it. It was a huge marketing. It was a huge marketing scheme. He was like, people are, one, going to feel bad for me, and B, they're going to go and listen to the show where they're whatever. So if he's not the next Bachelor, then it is what it is. But I'm just saying, if he is, I'm going on record, I'm going to shit my pants. And I will apply for the Bachelor. If I find out he's the Bachelor, I will apply. I also applied hardcore and like went all out for the radio show when they were looking for somebody. So, you know, just like a little like tidpiece of the information, like I'm not like obsessed or anything. So I just wanted to like go over who the hell is Bobby Bones, because people have been asking me. I post about it all over all over my Instagram, the show. And just, he's probably going to be coming to our Monday night radio or TV as the Bachelor. So anyways, just saying. Okay. Let's talk for a second about some dating app faux pas with Megan, because, you know, I've swiped sometimes and then sometimes I get bored of it and I don't even want to look at it and I take it off my phone because I'm like, you know what? No, don't care. It's just not fun. But it is fun. It is fun. You gotta stay positive. Anyways, dating app faux pas. Let's get real. Let's talk about this. The one thing that I cannot stand that is the most annoying thing is mentioning how much you like tacos or know the best spot for tacos. Or, no, I know the best spot for tacos in town. Literally, if I see one more person talk about tacos and if one more guy talk about tacos in their dating app, that's it. I'm done. Call it quits. Another thing, we want to see your face, okay? We don't want to see 7 action shots and then a picture of your car and there was like one picture of you with like 5 other people. Like, get it together. Get it together. And you know what? I don't care. Number 3. I don't know. And I don't care how good the picture is. You do not put a picture on your dating app and then put an emoji over your ex's face. I don't care how good it is. I don't care how hot you think you are or if you do it because you think it's funny. Like, no. Like, no, like, those are instant, next, swipe, you know, do you agree? I think it's a thing. I totally think it's a thing, but I just had to clear the air on that, because, you know, I'm experiencing it, it's in my life, and I needed to air that out. So, to kind of come to this ending portion of this all-out podcast, I kind of wanted to do a little like I always like to do. I like to do a little bit of a personal touch in to kind of get real, to kind of get personal, talk about life. Because, you know, we all need to talk about life. So there's been a lot of really actually heavy events that have kind of happened in my life recently. My brother lost one of his best friends very tragically and suddenly and unexpected. So that was an event that affected a lot of people, a lot of friends, a lot of family, a lot of friends' families, all in a township that all knows each other and is close, and even more community. And I didn't want to come on and talk about this because I don't really feel like it's my place to personally talk about it. But so just a very big, heavy thing that I've been experiencing these last couple of weeks. And you know, everyone's doing okay, and everyone's healing at their own rate. And I feel like that's something that we all kind of do. Everyone heals at their own rate. And I'm such a big promoter of that, of don't let anyone tell you ever in your life that what you're feeling is not okay, because it's nobody else can tell you what to feel. Nobody else can tell you when to feel it, when not to feel it. You're feeling it. Now, as much as I say that, and I will stand by that, we also can't hide behind the word healing, you know? It has to be something that you're constantly evolving from. I just had that thought. Like, it's something that we're constantly healing, but no one should ever feel ashamed of it. I just think that sometimes people can get caught in it, and when they can keep rising, if that makes sense. Anyways, just kind of some food for thought. But the one thing I feel like more people, like, we need to do is we need to be more in touch with our, I think we need to be more in touch. I mean, my God, I don't know if I can get any more in touch with my emotions. If I do, woo, baby, put me in my grave just now. But we need to be more in touch with our emotions. We need to take these times, take these experiences, any kind of experience in life. You know, is it something that makes you really sad? Is it something happens that makes you incredibly mad? Okay, well, why? Why does it make you mad? Take some time, learn from it, evolve. So emotions, there's something that we need, and we're something that we need to be more. You learn about yourself. And this can get really extraterrestrial really quick, and I can kind of start going into things, but I just feel like a veil has kind of been lifted over my eyes from recent events. So with that being said, this veil being lifted, I heard this quote the other day in a song, and it about drilled into my brain, and I thought it was one of the most starkingly honest and truthful things I had ever heard in a very long time. And the quote is, "I fell in love with your potential. I fell in love with your potential. I'm not in love with you. I'm in love with your potential." And I was like, oh my God. I know that I've had people in my life that I've been in love with their potential, not who they were at that very moment, but who I kept thinking that they were going to be. And we stay in love relationships or just friendships, or we stay in things. I know I do. And I don't know. So it's like, ask yourself. I mean, do you have people in your life that you're, you know, and that's a, this is a real honest come to Jesus thing that I think people need to ask them. I mean, this is some, and if you don't want to look inward, don't look inward. Trust me. Once you look inward, you can't unlook it. But do you have people in your life still to this day because of their potential, not because of what they're serving you right now? And are we in love with the idea of who we want people to be? I mean, yeah, I know. Pete, that's what we do. So that kind of had rocked me to my core when I heard that. And I just really wanted to share it because I thought it was just so, it really impacted, like really hit me. I fell in love with your potential, and it just made me like be aware, like going forward, for anyone going forward in any kind of relationship, or if you just kind of check in with yourself, and are you in relationships because of people's potentials? Because this could be long-term friendships. And it's funny, it's just crazy because this was also talked about in some which way or other at the church that I go to. So it's not even because I'm basing it off of that. I like had this in my notes and then that happened. And then there's been some other things kind of happens, things that you can't really, explain. Like I said, the veil's just kind of been lifted recently. So that was just, it's been a lot of learning experiences, and I kind of just wanted to share, some thoughts, some feelings. So, wow, I kind of just went all over the map there. I feel good. I feel like I got the demons out. That's going to be it for this week's episode of Mad Yet Mighty. I kind of just feel like that's a good, I want everyone to kind of take those thoughts with you and mull them over. I feel like we constantly need to be growing and constantly need to be working on like being and bettering ourselves. And I feel like that has to do with a lot of the people that are around us energetically. Cool. So where can you find more stuff? You can go follow at Mad Yet Mighty on Instagram. That would be really cool. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so you can be alerted when there's a new episode. And if you want to rate the episodes, that's really cool too. Leave a comment. That's really fun. Wonderful. This has been great. Thank you all for listening. This has been Mad Yet Mighty. I'm your host, Megan Cipollone, and I will talk to you next time.